It's time to experience the Synergy Connection Show with your host, Lucy Forsting.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Synergy Connection Show. Really happy to have everybody back with us again. And today I have Victoria Hawkins visiting, and she was just on the Appalachian Trail for your birthday, right?
Well, my birthday's coming up soon, but yes, I was just back for my annual trip out to the Appalachian Trail.
And how many miles did we do this year?
We did 46 this year.
46, okay. Yes. And I saw pictures, and it was boulders.
we were hiking on a lot of rocks this year.
Oh, gosh.
Way more than I've experienced. So kind of happy I got that chunk behind me.
Hopefully there aren't any more that are like that.
I think when I go north it is, but that's okay.
How many miles have you actually done thus far?
I was actually trying to figure that out the other day, and so I have a roundabout, I think I'm around like 300-350 now, which is a small chunk of the, it's a little bit more than 2,000 miles is the whole trail. So I was laughing a little bit. I was like, I might have to step up how many times I go a year.
Or make it a longer
trip. We could also do longer trips,
longer
too.
Because otherwise you're going to be getting a little older with the knees
this
and the hips.
This is true. So far, so good. And I have seen, you know, it's kind of neat. I've seen some people out there that started doing what I did when they were more working age. And then when they retired, they did longer stints. And I met a man, a gentleman, the first year I was out, who was finishing the trail, finishing the last like 8 miles that he had of the trail to do. And he was in his 80s.
Oh my gosh.
He was really cool. He was in great condition. And his some of his family members had come out because he decided to do a whole, like I think he did 2 months at one shot in his 80s. And some of his family members came out and would do certain number of days with them.
Oh, that's fun.
And it was neat. And so he had his grandson.
And for the last 8 miles.
For the last 8 miles. And he'd been with him a couple days. It was a cool thing to witness.
I bet that would be. Well, I can't say that it's anything that I aspire to. There's other things that I'd like to do, but the Appalachian Trail is not one of them. You and I are going to be talking today about requesting help from our guides and then using our intuition. Because as we were kind of saying before the show started, if you don't develop an intuitive understanding of life, it's going to be very difficult to listen for guidance.
Yes.
So they kind of go hand in hand. But before we really get started, besides walking the Appalachian Trail, why don't you introduce yourself again to listeners so that they will understand who you are, what you do, and how they might benefit from interacting with you.
Sure. Well, I have an eclectic background, that is for sure. And I have loved how I've brought it all under one umbrella in the last few years to really encourage more wellness in all areas of our body, mind, and emotions, I would say. I'm a licensed clinical social worker in the state of Florida since 2001, and I've been in mental health since 1997. So I've always had that mental health background. But over the years, I've also incorporated yoga, which I've been an instructor for 14 years, and I even have a teacher training program. And then earth studies and shamanism as well. And other arts are both physical, you know, painting and things, as well as dance is a huge part of my life. And so now in the past, well, about 8 months, because I took ownership of the local studio that I have in January of this year.
Look how fast that's gone.
Oh my goodness. It's been a wild ride, that's for sure. We started as just a brick and mortar studio that has dance, and I also do some of my workshops and teacher trainings out of that program and some courses. And then we went to an all virtual, and now we're a hybrid. We've got small in-person classes, and then we're running everything virtually too right now.
And I would think that people might enjoy the virtual. They don't have to leave their home.
Right.
They can sit in front of their computer. Or if you're doing, are you doing belly dancing?
We are. We're doing belly dancing, yoga, and various wellness workshops. We have had sound meditations. I actually just did a earth studies on animal guides, which you and I have talked about, and spirit totems. We did that about 2 weeks ago. We had a few people in, and we had a few people at home learning from their homes. So really everything that we're offering, including my individual sessions too, and mentorship with people, because I also do mentor and teach online courses for individuals to learn how to bring in the art, the yoga, and the shamanism into their therapy or life coaching practice. So I'm doing my individual sessions, most of those actually virtually now as well.
I can't think that it would be anything but enjoyable that way, because here in Pinellas County, the traffic is bad. Even with COVID-19, it's bad. So, I mean, people don't have to be in a car driving for a half hour to an hour and a half to come and take a class.
Yes.
And now they can just, you know, pay, do it online, and they get the benefits both ways.
And I love it. We even have a sunrise yoga class on Tuesdays and Thursdays that one of my previous instructors, she teaches out of the Keys.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
So she is not even in our area.
Right.
But because we're virtual now.
So does she go to the beach?
She has a little, she lives in an RV.
Okay.
She has a little, her little RV, and they are right on the water.
Okay, so when she does her sunrise.
And the sunrise is right there on the water.
How wonderful.
It's really beautiful, and we would not have even come up with that, honestly, had it not been for the current circumstances. And so in some ways, I'm finding that in order to continue to reach people with the things that I love, I let go, and that's what we're talking about today, is one of the things you have to do. You don't have to, but I chose to let go of what my vision of the studio would look like and see what we could come up with and just get creative. And we continue to do that. Even our shows, because with belly dance, we have hafflas. I don't know if you've ever heard of those before.
No.
So belly dance, the type that we teach, it comes out of Egypt. We instruct Egyptian belly dance for the most part. And hafflas are a celebratory dance gathering.
Okay.
And we had those quite regularly, like every couple of months out of the studio, where people would perform and people would come to watch, and we might put 50, 60 people in the studio. Well, right now that's not available.
No.
So we've actually moved those onto online as well. So people are performing out of their homes. I'm running it through a online platform. And then we have an audience virtually joining from their homes as well. So it's been very interesting. You know, there's things we miss about that for sure. But it's also been neat because it's been so many months now. I believe that having all of these things available has helped us to maintain our wellness and keep thriving even in much more stressful and changing times.
No, I would totally agree there, because what I am sensing from so many individuals is the social isolation is extremely difficult for mental health. And people are depressed. You know, the anxiety is through the roof, but they're also extremely depressed and not motivated. So if they can be with like-minded individuals and talk, at least, then that helps a whole bunch.
Yes. And people are learning things that they wouldn't have learned before. I think that's kind of the neat thing, too. I mean, I've had more people open to exploring the arts because they didn't have to go anywhere and maybe feel awkward. And some of my individuals that were kind of strictly my belly dance students, now they're taking workshops on animal spirit guides. So what's been neat too is to see that crossover. And like you said as well, they don't have to drive. So even if they're further away or not in the area at all, it's available to them.
Right, because somebody that maybe is still working and they're done at 4 or 5 o'clock,
right.
They don't have to think, oh my gosh, I've still got to drive an hour to get to a class.
Yeah.
They actually have a little bit of downtime, and then they sit, you know, in their office or in their bedroom or wherever they have their computer, and, you know, they can be right in the class in a very short period of time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that works.
You know, things are changing, and I'm happy to be able to be flexible with that change. And as we were, choosing a topic for what we would talk about today, I know that my comfort level with trusting my intuition has grown over the years. And so when things turned so differently back in February, March, while it felt scary still,
So
I also knew I was going to be guided to something.
Right. So did you kind of take the position then right away of saying, okay, I'm going to open myself to being guided?
I would say it took me about 3 days.
Okay.
Just being honest. Because...
After you said, oh.
Oh, yes. There was some expletives and a lot of tears.
Uh-huh.
Not that there weren't still tears, which, you know, I think that's okay. There's a grief, too, to me that goes with having a plan and a vision. And then watching that just go poof. Surprisingly, of course, as none of us were prepared for this particular experience.
If you had told somebody in January, by the way, 2020 is going to be a year that you will never forget.
Right.
People would have thought, you know, optimistically, oh, well, maybe
it's going to be really amazing. Yeah.
Amazing year. It's been amazing on many different levels.
On many different levels and in ways that we could not have fathomed.
No.
So I think, too, the shock of that for me, you know, and maybe I'll back up a moment, too, and talk a little bit about the guidance to actually take ownership of the studio. That was not something I took lightly either.
Right.
So.
And that was in December.
Right. And it was very soon before that, really, that it became offered to me. So in about October, I think, late October even, the previous owner and founder of it, who is still a big part of the studio, she was really looking to explore some other avenues in her life. So she came to me and asked me if I was interested in taking ownership of the studio. And I was totally blown away. It was not something on my personal radar. And I do a lot of envisioning. You know, this is part of what I do in life. I have made vision boards. I'm a dreamer. I'm definitely a dreamer, and I like to visualize things. And I really had not had this vision of owning a studio, even though I've worked in them for years, with yoga particularly, and dance as well. When she came to me, it so blew me out of the water that I think my face was just flat. And that's not like me either. I'm usually got some kind of emotion on my face. And I said, thank you. Let me think about it. And then really prayed and asked for guidance and meditated. And to me, the distinction between prayer and meditation is prayer is me asking, you know, even just making a request of, please, I need guidance. The meditation is the listening to
the
allowing that guidance to come in.
Right.
And I do often ask for signs as well to support me feeling the validation to keep trusting that I'm hearing my guidance correctly. That's one of the ways that I feel I've gotten stronger at listening, not just listening, but then following the guidance that I'm getting. And when I looked at it, then I sought just a little bit of wise counsel, not too many people, but people that I knew I could trust with the business and marketing side. Because even though I've had my own business, it's been small and it's just been me and I haven't managed other people. So I sought some guidance from two people that I knew I could trust on that aspect. They thought it was a good plan and a good idea. And then got some very good signs, you know, just for me with that guidance. And then right after I made the decision, I started seeing eagles. Now, you're familiar with this area, obviously, because we live in the same area, general area, and the studio is actually pretty close. There's eagle nests over on near Tarpon, Lake Tarpon.
Yeah, it's Anderson Park, right?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
And I drive mm-hmm. over that area to come to the studio, and I began seeing eagles, and I started looking at the meaning behind the eagles, and a lot of it is about spreading your wings.
Right.
Flying up above. They're big messengers to spirit or God or divine, however you'd like to term it. And they were also a lot about, like, really manifesting into this bigger component of you as an individual, you know, like kind of walking into your strength. So I felt very good about taking this position. Mm-hmm. So I go into January, you know, we switched hands late December. I go into January ready with tons of plans. And I think you and I even got a chance to meet during that time before
before
everything happened. So when you know, pandemic hit, I knew that I was not incorrect in taking the leadership of Hipnique. I knew that. And I felt really solid about that. However, I felt really scared because I didn't know how it was going to look next. Mm-hmm. And I would say I'm not the biggest, well, now I'm getting much better at it, but I wasn't hugely into technology as a person. I could do things well enough and I'm intelligent. It wasn't a field that I loved and studied a lot though. Mm-hmm. So we'd had 1 week where we had zero classes because I didn't know what else to do. You know, we actually had to shut down here as most places did eventually. Mm-hmm. But the fitness centers, which we fell under, had to shut down. So in that 1 week, we had no classes. Interestingly, though, over the years, because I make these online courses and I also do sadhanas, which are 21 days of a commitment to something, I had created videos. Most of them at that point were yoga videos and meditation videos, but I'd already created all these videos.
So you had them?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I had them and I said, okay, I'm feeling guided, just let's start by sending out videos. Mm-hmm. So all the people that were members of the studio, I said, okay, for now, we have these pre-recorded videos and you'll get a new set every week. And so that first week I just launched into starting to also make some instructional belly dance videos, some cardio videos, all these different things. So I just started making videos. And then pretty quickly we started to see that people were using Zoom to do different things. And so we launched into that. And at each point, I felt like, okay, this is the next step. And I wasn't getting, you know, here's the step for 3 weeks from now. It was like, tomorrow, here's your next step. And then here's your next step. And then spending a lot of time so learning how to run those more effectively so that we could really give some kind of a quality class.
Yeah, so you basically developed a whole new skill set.
Completely.
Yeah.
Completely. And I say now, it feels like I'm running a TV station out of my studio, albeit a very simple one because it's definitely not as sparkly and shiny and I don't have as much equipment. However, we have gotten quite adept at running a in-person and online class simultaneously mm-hmm. and having an experience where, like you were saying, people are still connecting to each other. Mm-hmm. And some of my members, I haven't actually laid eyes on them in person since March.
Wow. Okay.
But I see them mm-hmm. multiple times a week
right.
and we're feeling that connection.
Right. I was talking to, she's a middle school teacher, but mm-hmm. I was talking to her about a week ago and I'm just blown away with what they have to learn
yeah.
how to do now, because she has a virtual classroom where she can see the students in the little squares
mm-hmm.
and then she has an actual, and it goes on simultaneously.
Yes.
And that's what you're talking about.
Yes. And it is a different skill set
mm-hmm.
and there's a little bit of an art to it, I think, too, so that you feel that connection still
mm-hmm.
that you're engaging with the people on the camera and engaging with your people in your class.
Mm-hmm.
I've enjoyed that, though, for me. That's been a lot of fun, is how to make that connection. But I enjoy connecting with people.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's
right.
something that I think has also led me into the fields of guidance with individuals. And I adore teaching workshops and finding new ways. I guess about 3 years ago now, I started to make the online courses. And when you make those are pre-recorded as well. So you are engaging with the audience that you don't even know who it's going to be until they start showing up. You make it first. And I have felt, and here's where it again comes back to listening to guidance and opening up to the opportunities that come, and then checking again with, is this opportunity for me? Because I've also said no to a lot of things too.
So what have you said no to so far?
I've actually said no to taking on some additional client work at times because of the amount of work that I've needed to do to keep all of the other pieces going.
So it is a little bit of a juggling act.
I would say it would be more of a juggling act if I said yes.
Okay. So you're kind of keeping it in balance.
Yes. And and that's new for me. I would say that's new for me this year, where I'm making a new pattern for myself. And part of that is this commitment to also take care of me as much. This is kind of the statement I have going into my birthday this year, which is just in a few weeks now. I start making my intentions in July for September. So one of my biggest intentions this year is to take care of myself as much as I care for others.
And that's something that a lot of people have difficulty doing.
And I have too in my life.
Well, I think as a caregiver, you know, our focus, because I'm certainly one.
Yes.
And so our focus is on others and not on self. And we tend to not ask for something that we may need.
Right.
Because we figure they should know. I'm giving it to you, therefore. But most people don't. So if you don't ask, if you don't tell, there's no way that they would ever know.
And it's so interesting because I actually was just having this bit of a conversation with someone earlier today, which is sometimes too, we not only do we not ask other human beings for help or what we would love in our lives, I think we also don't ask our divinity for that.
Well, I would guess the logic would be because these are divine beings, they have this all-knowing. But again, unless you say, I'm ready for it, they're waiting to see, are you ready?
And that is actually the exact visual that I have. I just get things in images a lot. You know, being an artist, I really enjoy that image part of myself. And I do often see my guides. And for me, that's kind of a mix of like wisdom teachers from the past, like Lao Tzu and Jesus is a big one for me. And then a few of the archangels that I really connect with. And then I have my animal totems. And to me, God energy is like the big source energy that everything is coming from. And I see all of that standing behind me waiting for me to ask for help.
Right, yeah. And, do you think today is the
right
day?
Or waiting for me to ask for guidance.
Yep.
And then when I do, it's right there. And that's the thing that I have been playing with more and more and more for the last, especially 5 years of my life, which has led me to... that's what led me to create the yoga teacher training program. It's what led me to say yes to the studio. It's also what's led me to say no to certain things. And then, and I didn't say this, but what I find is if it's not for me, it's because someone else is going to be there in place for that person. So, you know, I have a wealth of resources and referrals then that I can also say, hey, for me right now, I don't feel like I can give you the attention that you would want and need. Here is a person that could, and why don't you reach out to them? And I just did that a couple of times in the past week. And that makes me feel so much lighter. And I also do feel that I've served that person in the way that they needed me to in that moment. Because they did still come to me. However, if I say yes, knowing that I don't have the energy or the actual literal physical hours to be there for them, then I don't feel as good.
No.
I feel heavy.
Mm-hmm. And in that respect, you would not be giving them what they actually need.
No, I don't feel so. Mm-hmm. And then I'm not giving me what I need either, because that's another way that I listen to my guidance or figure out my guidance is listening to the feelings that I have. I've really learned to listen into the feelings. And I just put them in two categories, comfortable and uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. If I'm uncomfortable, then I should look at that and see what is creating that discomfort.
Right. Now, do you ask if you're feeling uncomfortable mm-hmm. or if you're talking with somebody who
sure.
is coming in and saying, I need to understand better how to look, you know, for the signs, you know, that I'm going in the right direction, or, you know, hearing the guidance that I should be listening to? What is it that you help them look for? You know,
yeah, that's a great
that,
question. Yeah. One of the things I ask myself sometimes if I feel that discomfort is this out of fear?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, for example, getting the offer to take over the studio.
Right.
That felt big to me.
It was. It wasn't little.
It was. It was a big one.
Yeah.
And still is in some ways. So my first inclination was, oh my goodness, I don't know if I can do this.
Right.
That, and so I listened to that, okay, what feels scary about that?
Mm-hmm.
And then I heard my own head, and so this is the distinction I try to help people with. Is my head talking to me?
Or your heart.
Or is my heart talking to me?
Right.
And now could I point to my gut, mm-hmm. even though you all can't see me right now, but that's where I see my intuitive guidance is, like, deep down inside in
my
core.
Well, that's your solar plexus.
Yeah.
So, I mean, your solar plexus does guide you.
It does.
And if it's churning
mm-hmm.
With anxiety, then, yeah, you need to pay attention to that.
Yes. If my head is what's creating the statements, you know,
mm-hmm.
maybe you can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you don't know how. Maybe this is too big for you.
And that's all those messages from the time you were a little girl.
Exactly. Right. These are old messages.
Mm-hmm.
And if my gut is leading me a different direction,
right.
then the answer may be, you know, thank you so much, but that is, I don't think I'm the right person for that.
Right.
So that's kind of my three, that's the three spots that I check in with.
Well, intellectually, you know, it's always going to be your ego.
Right.
Up there.
Oh, yes.
So intellectually, you'll have probably 101 reasons why it might not work.
Right.
But like you said, if you're checking with your heart, what does your heart tell you?
Mm-hmm.
And you're checking with your intuition in your solar plexus, is it churning or is it kind of excited?
Right.
Because that's a distinction too. Some people, I think, might be heading in the right direction by listening to their solar plexus
mm-hmm.
intuitive self there. But you know, it could be excitement, you know, like, oh my gosh, I really get
yes.
a chance to spread my wings. So that goes back to the eagle image.
Absolutely. And deciphering some of those things for yourself too.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean that you won't ever again have that, you know, feeling of nervousness. One of the things I've learned both through counseling with individuals, but also trusting and learning how to trust feelings and guidance is anxiety and excitement feel the same in your body.
Right.
So you have to dig a little bit deeper sometimes and then decide, you know, if my mind is just giving me some messages that are fearful, I could also choose to call this excitement.
Mm-hmm.
If my gut is trying to warn me against something, I find that my gut is not scary. That's how I say it. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's not going to scare me. My head may try to scare me, but my gut doesn't.
Right.
But it may be very direct and give me a big no on something.
Think of a time when it gave you a no.
Okay, this is kind of a funny one. It's old.
Okay.
But it's the one that came up, so This is really old. This is so funny. But hey, you know what? I'm going with it because we're talking about trusting intuition today.
Right, right.
This is actually from college.
Okay.
And I was in a sorority in college, and we had date functions. I didn't always have a date, you know, in college. And so sometimes someone would set you up, a friend or whatever. Well, at one point, one of my sorority sisters was setting me up for one of our date functions with a guy from another college somewhere else in Florida. I can't even remember where he was coming from at this point. So it's been a few years.
Okay.
So even back then, I've always had a really strong intuition. I didn't always listen to it, but this is one of these times where I felt like I got a solid, like, no. And I had said yes. This guy actually came over, because he was coming over with her boyfriend, I think, is how the story went.
Okay.
He came over from whatever college it was just to go to this date function with me, who he'd never met before. And I really got a very strong message internally to not go to the date function. I don't know that it was necessarily about the person, the other person.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, when I followed my intuition on those things, I don't know why, usually, I got the no. But I did in that case, and I felt sick to my stomach. I mean, it was that strong.
Wow, okay.
And I had no good explanation, and I'm like 18 years old at the time, and I did not make my sorority sister very happy. However, when I said, because I told her, I said, I tried to be as honest as I could be without being weird, because I felt really weird to say, like, I have a feeling I shouldn't go. So instead, what I said was, I just feel really, really sick, and which was true. I just couldn't elaborate anymore for my own comfort level. But as soon as I said no, I felt peace.
Hmm. Did you ever find out what had transpired or no?
So. No. And it may have been I wasn't meant to be on that bus, or I haven't, because we actually had to take a bus somewhere. And so it may have had nothing to do with the date. Mm-hmm. It may have been something about me at the event or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. That I was given a very strong warning. And another time, this one came to me when I was saying sometimes I don't know. This was one where I know why I got it. I used to have an office that was not like maybe a half mile from my children's elementary school. So I would see my clients and then I would walk across the street to go pick them up from school and in the afternoon. Well, we also had a fax machine that I rented space. And so there was like a office area. And I never checked, like the fax machine I would check occasionally. It wasn't an urgency.
Mm-hmm.
But for whatever reason this day, I was going out the side door because that was closest to the road. And there's a crosswalk there. However, at the time, there was no light for the crosswalk, anything. And people would just
run.
Yeah. So what I would usually do was I would cross to the median, wait again, and cross to the other side. That was my pattern. So I go out the door, I open the side door, and I felt this extreme urge that I needed to go check the fax machine. And I'm like, I was talking to myself a little, like, this is silly. But I listened to it. I went in, I checked the fax machine. There was actually a fax for me. So I took it back to my office, put it in my office, locked my door, went back out. In that 2 minutes that it took, there had been an accident.
Oh my goodness.
Through the crosswalk, right where I would have been.
Yeah, you would have been.
And there was no way I would have been able to avoid it because it was a minivan that had gotten hit and she got pushed into the crosswalk.
Oh my goodness.
And so I just was like, I mean, immediately I just said, thank you. She was a Spanish speaking woman. I was able to help a little bit because I could speak enough and understand her to check on her child. And then the ambulances came and I went and got my kids. But that was one too, once I started kind of talking about it, that came to me where I felt very clear that was why my guide said, go check the fax machine.
Go check, right.
And avoided, you know, a potentially fatal or at least mm-hmm. life-changing accident.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it's dramatic,
mm-hmm.
and I think other times it's just your guides steering you a direction that could be smoother for you in life too, you know?
I would agree with that. I'm thinking back when I was in my early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
My parents lived in Indianapolis, and I would go from St. Louis, where I lived, to see them, which was about a 5 or 6 hour drive, something like that. And it was a highway at that point that wasn't divided.
Yes.
So when people passed, you took a risk mm-hmm. that you were going to pass one car, two cars, three cars. But we were getting ready to leave Indianapolis to go back to St. Louis. And I had one of those feelings, like, not yet, not yet, not yet. And so I kind of was dallying, if you will, saying goodbye to my parents and my brothers and stuff. And we got about halfway back, and I think we were around a town that was called Vidalia, Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
But there had been a 17-car pileup.
Oh, wow.
Because somebody had passed, and then it set off a chain reaction.
Yes.
And there were several people that were killed, and we probably would have been in that
group.
Yeah. And so I remember my husband at the time said to me, if you ever have that feeling again, just tell me. Because he was annoyed
I
was holding him
yes.
up, and he had wanted to get on the road. And I didn't know how to tell him at that point in my life, I just got this feeling, because he probably would have looked at me and like, get in the car.
Right. Like me with my sorority sister.
Right.
Like, I don't know. I just feel sick.
Right. Exactly. So listening for
mm-hmm.
that little voice
mm-hmm.
that kind of tells you, but then being able to understand maybe the signs when you see them.
Yes. That's been practice, I think,
mm-hmm.
more for me too. And like I was saying, I was someone who said yes to a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't always serve my best good. However, it eventually doesn't serve somebody else either, because maybe you
right.
can't follow through or whatever.
Right.
So probably about 12 years ago, I made a commitment to say no, or let me think about that,
mm-hmm.
rather than to say yes and then try to figure it out, which is how I used to do things.
Right. And then you had so much on your plate, you didn't do any of it well.
Correct. And
right.
I felt really stressed and,
uh-huh.
and you know, stretched too thin.
Mm-hmm.
So, and actually, during that time, physically had the same manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
Stressed. My adrenals were burning out, and I was extremely thin. And not in a good way. So your body will mimic it, as you and I have talked about many times
yeah.
too. So I had to make a commitment to take things off my plate first, to
mm-hmm.
either say no or let me get back to you. And then I could spend some time actually with a process of meditation and asking for guidance.
Mm-hmm.
That was the, I think that was the process where I started to trust my intuition more.
Mm-hmm.
On everything instead of just big things.
Sure.
You know, because some of the examples I gave you were probably more impactful, and that's why I remember them. It was easier to trust like that big feeling
mm-hmm.
than to just trust that it's the right move to say no to leading the moms group. You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't seem like the biggest deal in the world to say yes or no. Oh, that was another one that I said no to recently, which was being a soccer mom. Well, not, I am a soccer mom, but I guess you would call me.
But being
a soccer shaman.
Yeah, right, being more
but
intimately
make,
involved.
Being
yeah.
the team mom leader.
Uh-huh.
And I said, thank you so much. I know that I would not be able to do that job justice right now. That was actually what I said. And I was like, whew, that feels so good. And of course, the woman that's doing it is amazing and on top of it and really organized and doing a great job. Giving myself the space to listen and ask for guidance on what is my work. That's one of the questions I've asked.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is this my work?
Mm-hmm. And then you get quiet and listen.
And then I get quiet and listen.
Mm-hmm.
And when the answer is yes, then the next step for me is typically, you know, then show me how to proceed, or
right.
what is going to be best for this individual, how can I guide them, you know, depending on what I'm working with at that time.
Now, one of the things that I have told my own private counseling mm-hmm. clients over the years is that when you start doing this, in many cases, they'll hear nothing.
True.
You know, for the first maybe couple of weeks
yeah.
because, you know, they're not sure. Your own guides are not sure. Are you really ready to help have us help you? And so it's a trust, it's a faith,
mm-hmm.
kind of an example. And so even I've had people journal and I said, you know, just write. And if you can't think of anything, that's fine. You know, 15 minutes later, you can get up.
Mm-hmm.
But if you sit there and you begin to actually listen to what's going on inside of you, something will happen. But it just may take time because you've never given yourself permission.
Yes,
you know,
and writing is a great way that I've used as well, especially in the beginning when I decided I'm going to more consciously seek guidance.
Mm-hmm.
And I would maybe ask a question and then just start writing.
Mm-hmm.
I've also done it painting too. That's another way that I play with it. Another way for me, and I always love I call them intuitive days, where I just say, okay, I'm going to clear my schedule for 3 or 4 hours. Or more, if I have the desire. And I'm going to see which way I'm guided. That's been super fun. And it might mean getting in my car and going, okay, do I turn right or left now? Where does that take me? Like really, really going moment to moment. Or sitting in my house and saying, okay, do I want to take a walk? Or do I want to paint in my yard? You know? And then seeing which way I felt guided. So I just call them intuitive play days.
Mm-hmm.
I think what's neat out of that is cool things always happen. One of which was, and actually you got to meet Tara, I know, too.
Yes.
Yes, yes. Amazing woman. So she's a good friend of mine now. But I think 8 or 9 years ago, I have a children's book. And she has a publishing company. And she ended up being my publisher, but we didn't know each other. This is a fun story. This all came on an intuitive play day.
Okay.
Where I ended up at Serenity Now, which you also know as well. Great mm-hmm. store that I've been involved with for years. On a whim, mentioned that I had this book that was just in raw form, you know, words and illustrations, because I also did the illustrations for it. The owner, Brooke, said, you know, we have a customer that comes in that has a publishing company, gave me her phone number. We set up a meeting. When we get to the meeting, she said, I saw on your website that your office is right by my neighborhood. Well, my office was right across the street from my where I lived at the time, too.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
And I said, yes, as a matter of fact, it's my neighborhood as well. I live here. So come to find out, we live in the same neighborhood. We've not met at this point. We both live there for a bit of time. Then on top of it, she ends up living 2 doors down from my boyfriend, who also lived in the neighborhood, but I didn't live with him. Now we share a home as partners, but so now Tara and I live 2 doors from each other. But my intuitive play day led to her being my publisher for the book. A wonderful friendship with an amazing woman who's just a huge inspiration in my life. And we might have met some other way eventually, but just opening myself up to play with the universe led us together in this kind of miraculous way.
So if somebody was listening to this and saying, okay, I want to begin to get in touch
mm-hmm.
with my own intuition, the play day would be one way to
do it. It's a great, fun, and lighthearted way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's something I notice with some people and probably also for myself too in the beginning. I wasn't sure about trusting things that I would call big decisions
mm-hmm.
to anyone but myself, I guess. And that was probably because of some of my experiences in life. I kind of had pulled in my trust.
Mm-hmm.
And finding that lighter way to do it where I'm like, okay, well, you know, if I don't have anything to do for 4 hours, mm-hmm. it's not going to hurt me to play and see where I end up.
Right.
And that opened me, I think also the fact that it often led to something really miraculous and amazing amazing happening.
Right.
I started to build trust.
Right. Yeah. I guess one of the things, this little park that I go to a lot, I think starting maybe back in February of this year, before COVID was totally out of mm-hmm. the closet, so to speak, it has become a place where I look at it and I go, I wonder what beautiful lesson it's
yes.
going to give me today. So every time I go, the anticipation is there is going to be something that will be revealed.
Yes.
And it might be dolphins, it might be manatees, it might be an osprey, it might be a flower. But it'll be something. And so there never is an expectation of what it will be.
Yes.
It's more of a, I wonder what it will be. You know, I wonder how the universe is going to provide something that's a gift.
Yes.
And a couple of days ago, I was over there, and I showed you the picture. But
yeah.
There was a person there that had a parrot. And the parrot was 23 or 25 years old. And it was a father's son, and the son appeared to be maybe in his late teens, early 20s. And I really didn't know how long parrots lived, you know, but I was like, wow, 75 years was what I was told. And I'm thinking,
wow.
You better have that one in a will. Because, you know, if the father, let's say, is in his maybe 50s
right.
at this point, I don't know whether he'll live another 50 years, you know, to have the parrot along, you know, if it lives to be 75.
Right.
But the parrot was there, beautiful, colorful bird that just totally spread his wings out as
mm-hmm.
if to give, you know, a hug. And so I thought, well, that's tonight's gift, is
yeah.
this beautiful parrot. There's somebody that's been leaving stones there, these hand-painted stones, and they always have neat little messages.
Yes.
So you just never know. But I think if you have that overall attitude of expecting a blessing, being
right.
grateful for whatever it is that shows up. And in some cases, you know, maybe you have to Google, what does this mean?
Oh,
because,
yeah, for sure.
With dolphins, manatees,
mm-hmm.
ospreys, that's what I've done, is say, okay, I saw this. Now, what is the spiritual meaning behind it?
And I love doing that, too. I, you know, that's really what I did with the eagles when I,
mm-hmm.
because, too, I, like you said, you're open. And you made a key point to me as well, which is you're expecting.
Mm-hmm.
So when I ask for guidance, I go with an expectancy that I'm going to get an answer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't always get the answer right that moment.
Or it
honestly.
Might not be the one you want.
Oh, it's definitely not always the one I want. Or the one I think I want. Maybe
uh-huh.
it's a better way to say it, because
right.
I'm definitely finding that I have some great plans. However, there's even better ones.
That you haven't thought about.
Yes, that I haven't
right.
thought about.
Right.
And when I'm letting go of the outcome, which is, it's truly a tenet of yoga that I've practiced for years too. We call it a parigraha, which is called it translates to non-grasping.
Okay.
So one of the things that it embodies is the idea of letting go of attachment.
Right.
To anything, people, places, things. One of the big ones for me was outcomes.
Okay.
I have been I would have called myself in my youth a more driven person, you know, top of my class and in all my studies throughout my education, and really always a go-getter on things. And those are great qualities and I'm very proud of them. They sometimes would blind me though to
mm-hmm.
being able to see it a different way.
Right. Right.
And that there could be another way that it could go better.
Right.
So when I made this shift, which I attribute a lot of my shifts to 12 years ago, really it started before that because you lead up to shifts,
mm-hmm.
I have learned, but having that conscious choice of doing things differently, I would say happened about 12 years ago. And as I did that, I really have seen that letting go of the outcome, you know, choosing a parigraha, has allowed much more exciting and amazing things to happen
mm-hmm.
than anything that I've been able to come up with.
Right.
And even letting go and surrendering, like one of the things I did when all of this, and I've done a couple of times really throughout these changes with the studio, is to say, okay, if I'm still meant to do this, either if I'm not meant to do it, then just show me that clearly. Mm-hmm. And if I am meant to do it, then show me how.
Right.
Because right. This isn't going to work this way. And as I make myself open to that, then, you know, you get a new idea or someone else comes along.
Well, and the virtual classrooms.
The virtual classrooms become a real possibility.
Yes, they do.
You know, some of the things, one of the things I'm using right now, it didn't even exist in April.
Really? What's that?
The platform I use to manage the studio, like where people buy classes and stuff like that, is called MindBody, which has been around a while. But they didn't have any sort of online or virtual element until this. And who knows, they might have been thinking about it before this.
And it pushed them to make a
decision.
And
it might have pushed them. Right. I mean, I think that that's what all of us have said, too. You know, I said, wow, I really love making these videos. It would be cool to start doing this and adding that as a thing. This pushed us into that quicker if we had the desire to do it. So the platform that we run a lot of our classes on, like we still use Zoom for a few things, but the MindBody virtual platform didn't even exist in April.
Hmm. So isn't that interesting?
That's amazing to me. You know,
yes.
There's nothing too big or too small for the universe to give guidance on. And I think everyone is being worked through for our good. That's another thing that I've kind of learned over the years is I can claim that the person in front of me is working for my good. Mm-hmm. And I begin to have different experiences. And, you know, a great book that it just made me think about, because some of my language has come from Florence Scovel Shen's books. I don't know if you're familiar with her, but they're super fun. She wrote books from 1925 to 1932.
My goodness, okay.
And her very first one is called The Game of Life and How to Play It. And it's about working with spiritual law, which we can also call universal law, too. Mm-hmm. And they're super cute because they have 1925 language, you know, like she talks about a phonograph in it.
Okay.
It's neat. And she would create what we would probably now call affirmations.
Mm-hmm.
And her book, it talks about working with people and giving them these statements to use, but she called them treatments.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And Louise Hay based a lot of her work on Florence Scovel Shen's work.
Sure, because she's
queen of affirmations.
Affirmations. And even the book, you've used it with kids, and I know I have, but The Little Engine That Could.
Yes.
Because, I mean, I think I can.
Yes.
In today's world, I think you know, at this moment in time, mm-hmm. all of us need to be saying something like that. I think I can get through this.
Right.
Instead of the, oh my, the sky is falling.
And yeah, that makes a great point that's part of this conversation that we start to have.
Mm-hmm.
Is it like, that's how I'm seeing it more and more, is you're having a conversation with the universe. You're having a conversation with your guides.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is using language so that we do envision that the best is here for us.
Right.
Because as you and I both know, when I put my focus on all the horrible things that could potentially happen,
you get
well,
more
I'm going
to
see more of that.
You and, absolutely will.
And I will notice more of where that's happening in my life and maybe even around the world.
There is an expression that I'm sure you've heard, the best is yet to come.
Oh, yeah.
And I think if we can kind of ease into that style of mm-hmm. thinking at this moment, because what we're being told on social media, whether it's television or podcast or whatever, is that, you know, everything is horrible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are dying and the death rate is growing. You know, kids are going back to school, but they're coming down with COVID-19 almost instantly. But I mean, it's scaring the crap out of everybody. And so if we were to look at the best is yet to come,
mm-hmm.
and honestly and truly believe that the answers are there. In fact, I just saw this morning I didn't watch it long enough to be that knowledgeable, but mm-hmm. there is a man who has created with Advent Health, which is here in this area.
Right.
And his company, a test that in seconds will tell you if you have COVID-19.
Hmm.
And if they, so they supposedly should have the patent or should have the approval or whatever it is that it was in a couple of days. So if they could start using that technology for plane travel, then you wouldn't have to wear a mask on the plane.
Oh, right. Because you would know whether or not.
Yeah, the
sure.
minute you enter the terminal, they could test you before you go in. And then people would not have to have masks on the whole time that they're in there because they would know. They would know getting onto a plane. They would know going into a classroom. They would know going into a place of business. And if you tested positive, then you quarantine
right.
for the 14 days.
Right.
It makes life more simple. You know, and I think that that's... So the best is yet to come could be the mantra of today if
yeah.
we were to try and see it as there's a lot of people behind the scenes that are working for solutions.
Yes, and that's the case in all times and in all ways.
Mm-hmm.
We have more glaring things going on for all of us. It's kind of like in some ways having this has united people with a common thing happening in their lives.
Exactly.
And even with that being the case and having, you know, those concerns that we might have about health and well-being, if we shift our focus to the things that are going well or are on the horizon,
mm-hmm.
like something like you just talked about with the test, if we look for the good
right.
that is there,
right.
and we continue to strengthen our connection with our own guidance on how to make
mm-hmm.
decisions for ourselves
and
expect
to see it.
And expect to see.
Yeah. Because then I think if the expectation is, yes, positives are coming in, you're being shown,
mm-hmm.
you're on the right path, take the next step, whatever it might be. If all of that is taking place, then there's a chance, at least, that our guides, the universe, God, will provide the answers. But if all of us are cowering in fear and, you know, waiting for the worst to be there, I'm afraid we're going to get more of the same.
I do believe that what we put our focus on is what we get more of.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, we talked about towards the beginning, we were talking about these guides that are here and waiting for us
mm-hmm.
to ask for help or to show us a sign. Or the other piece that, you know, we're kind of saying now too is they're also, the universe is waiting to hear what we want to see more of.
Right.
So
I think asking it is given, you know,
yes.
that has
yeah.
been around forever
mm-hmm.
and a day. So what are we asking for? And it's whatever our focus is.
Correct.
So if we're asking for something that is a positive, then be focused on the positive
yeah.
outcome.
Yeah, have an expectation that
right.
there is going to be an answer
mm-hmm.
for us.
Right.
And that it's going to be for the best good.
Right.
And that's a lot of what Florence Scovel Shinn talked about in her books and,
mm-hmm.
you know, gratefully saying, thank you that even in this situation, my highest and best good works
okay.
for me and everyone involved, those kind of things.
One of the things that I'll do, because her last name is probably not going to be easy maybe to spell.
Oh, right.
But what I'll do is I'll make sure that I have a link
oh, that's
to
a great idea.
Mm-hmm. her work, and I'll put it on the synopsis of the program.
Yeah.
So everyone who's listening right at the moment realize that there is a synopsis at synergyconnectionradio.com of each and every show. And so this show will have exactly what we've been talking about with a link to Florence's
That's
work.
That's perfect.
So that'll work.
Because I really love hers as a nice base
mm-hmm.
for learning how to speak more in this way,
mm-hmm.
where you're really inviting in the guidance
mm-hmm.
and the amazing resources of the universe.
Right. It's fun to visualize
mm-hmm.
that you have a huge crew all around you.
Yes.
And, you know, they're always smiling and they're always going, well, I wonder if she or he is going to ask today for some help. Yeah. And don't you think that at the end of each day, that they're disappointed if we haven't.
Oh, said, man, yeah. I didn't get to do my job today.
Yeah, or just that they want so much to give you what you want in life.
That's how I see it now. Just that it's this loving energy that wants to be there for us.
Right.
And are there, I mean, you know, there for us.
Right.
Ready to be of service.
Right. So they're ready to jump in and say, here's a little bit of information for you, and look at it, because, you know, we're showing you. Mm-hmm. We're showing you that these are possibilities and these are options. And yes, you're doing a great job. And yes, you're headed down the right road.
Yeah.
All we have to do is ask.
All we have to do is ask.
Yeah, that's very true. Well, I want to thank you. Please give everybody your website and how to reach you.
Sure. Hypniquestudio.com or wingedtreasures.com are both great places to shoot me an email and also see all the things that we're offering at the studio, which includes virtual now too.
Right.
In the workshops.
Belly dance
and,
from home.
Yeah, belly dance from home. No one even has to see you.
Well, they'll learn to be more flexible.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, that's
for
a
sure.
Good thing. That is a good thing. All right, and all of that information, again, will be at synergyconnectionradio.com. It'll be the top show, so Victoria's show is going to be the very first one you will see when you go to the website, and the links will be within that show notes, and all you have to do is click on Read More, and they will be right there. I truly appreciate you listening to the show, and I really appreciate Victoria being here. It is such fun to have wonderful people with wonderful ideas and a meeting of the minds. All of us are heading in the same direction. So come back again next Saturday. And when you're on the website, you will also see a banner there for Boomers Forever Young. That particular company has amazing products that will help you stay healthy. So please go explore their website, become knowledgeable with the different products that they carry. Thank you again for being part of the Synergy Connection Show, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye, everyone.
Boomers Forever Young is really making a name for themselves as an exciting nutritional company with products that really work. People from all over the country are starting to take notice. Their whole person approach to health and wellness, combined with their unique array of powerful natural health products, are setting them apart from all the other companies in the nutrition industry. Their customers love the one-on-one free consultations and the results they experience. Sound a little too good to be true? Then go online to boomerboost.com today and sign up for a free consultation with a product specialist, or just give us a call at 1-800-861-4609. Again, that's boomerboost.com, or call 1-800-861-4609 to join the thousands already experiencing the benefits of Boomers Forever Young products.